The little boy stared up at Shadow with eyes that held only pain, and Shadow thought to himself,
"Of course."
That's as good a way as any other of making a tribal god. He did not have to be told. He knew. You take a baby and you bring it up in the darkness, letting it see no one, touch no one, and you feed it well as the years pass, feed it better than any of the village's other children, and then, 5 winters on, when the night is at its longest, you drag the terrified child out of its hut and into the circle of bonfires, and you pierce it with blades of iron and of bronze. Then you smoke the small body over charcoal fires until it is properly dried, and you wrap it in furs and carry it with you from encampment to encampment, deep in the Black Forest, sacrificing animals and children to it, making it the luck of the tribe. When eventually the thing falls apart from age, you place its fragile bones in a box, and you worship the box. Until one day the bones are scattered and forgotten, and the tribes who worship the child god of the box are long gone, and the child god, the luck of the village, will be barely remembered, save as a ghost or a brownie, a kobold. Shadow wondered which of the people who had come to northern Wisconsin 150 years ago, a woodcutter, perhaps, or a mapmaker, had crossed the Atlantic with Hinzelman living in his head. And then the bloody child was gone, and the blood, and there was only an old man with a fluff of white hair and a goblin smile, his sweater sleeve still soaked from putting Shadow into the bath that had saved his life.
"Hinzelman?"
The voice came from the doorway of the den. Hinzelman turned. Shadow turned too.
"I came over to tell you,"
said Chad Mulligan, and his voice was strained,
"that the clunker went through the ice. I saw it had gone down when I drove over that way and thought I'd come over and let you know, in case you'd missed it."
He was holding his gun. It was pointed at the floor.
"Hey, Chad,"
said Shadow.
"Hey, pal. They sent me a note, said you'd died in custody. Heart attack."
"How about that? Seems like I'm dying all over the place."
"He came down here, Chad. He threatened me."
"No, he didn't. I've been here for the last 10 minutes, Hinzelman. I heard everything you said. About my old man. About the lake."
He walked further into the den. He did not raise the gun.
"I mean, Jesus, Hinzelman, you can't drive through this town without seeing that goddamn lake. It's at the center of everything. So what the hell am I supposed to do?"
"You gotta arrest him. He said he was gonna kill me,"
said the scared old man in a dusty den.
"Chad, I'm pleased you're here."
"No, you're not."
Hinzelman sighed. He bent down, as if resigned, and he pulled the poker out from the fire. The tip of it was burning bright orange.
"Put that down, Hinzelman. Just put it down, slowly. Keep your hands in the air where I can see them, and turn and face the wall."
There was an expression of pure fear on the old man's face, and Shadow would have felt sorry for him, but he remembered the frozen tears on the cheeks of Allison McGovern and could not feel anything. Hinzelman did not move. He did not put down the poker. He did not turn to the wall. Shadow was about to reach for Hinzelman to try to take the poker away from him when the old man threw the burning poker at Chad Mulligan. Hinzelman threw it awkwardly, lobbing it across the room as if for form's sake, and as he threw it, he was already hurrying for the door. The poker glanced off Chad's left arm. The noise of the shot in the close quarters of the old man's room was deafening. One shot to the head, and that was all.
"Better get your clothes on."
His voice was dull and dead. Shadow nodded. He walked to the room next door, opened the door of the clothes dryer, and pulled out his clothes. The jeans were still damp. He put them on anyway. By the time he got back to the den, fully dressed, except for his coat, which was somewhere deep in the freezing mud of the lake, and his boots, which he could not find, Mulligan had already hauled several smoldering logs out from the fireplace.
"It's a bad day for a cop when he has to commit arson just to cover up a murder."
Then he looked up at Shadow.
"You need boots."
"I don't know where he put them."
"Hell,"
said Mulligan.
"Sorry about this, Hinzelman."
And he picked the old man up by the collar and by the belt buckle, and he swung him forward, dropped the body with its head resting in the open fireplace. The white hair crackled and flared, and the room began to fill with the smell of charring flesh.
"It wasn't murder. It was self-defense."
"I know what it was."
He had already turned his attention to the smoking logs he had scattered about the room. He pushed one of them to the edge of the sofa, picked up an old copy of the Lakeside News, and pulled it into its component pages, which he crumpled up and dropped onto the log. The newspaper pages browned and then burst into flame.
Get outside.
He opened the windows as they walked out of the house, and he sprang the lock on the front door to lock it before he closed it. Shadow followed him out to the police car on his bare feet. Mulligan opened the front passenger door for him, and Shadow got in and wiped his feet off on the mat. Then he put on his socks, which were pretty much dry by now.
We can get you some boots at Henning's farm and home.
How much did you hear in there?
Enough. Too much.
They drove to Henning's farm and home in silence. When they got there, the police chief said,
What size feet?
Shadow told him. Mulligan walked into the store. He returned with a pair of thick woolen socks and a pair of leather farm boots.
All they had left in your size. Unless you wanted gum boots. I figured you didn't.
Shadow pulled on the socks and the boots. They fitted fine.
Thanks.
You got a car?
It's parked by the road down to the lake, near the bridge.
Mulligan started the car and pulled out of the Hennings parking lot.
What happened to Audrey?
Day after they took you away, she said she liked me as a friend, but it would never work out between us. Us being family and all. And she went back to Eagle Point. Broke my gosh darn heart.
Makes sense. And it wasn't personal. Hinzelman didn't need her here anymore.
They drove back past Hinzelman's house. A thick plume of white smoke was coming up from the chimney.
She only came to town because he wanted her here. She was something to help him get me out of town. I was bringing attention he didn't need.
I thought she liked me.
They pulled up beside Shadow's rental car.
What are you going to do now?
I don't know.
His normally harassed face was starting to look more alive than it had at any point since Hinzelman's den. It also looked more troubled.
I figure I got a couple of choices. Either I'll...
And he made a gun of his first two fingers and put the fingertips into his open mouth and removed them.
Put a bullet through my brain. Or I'll wait another couple of days until the ice is mostly gone and tie a concrete block to my leg and jump off the bridge. Or pills. Sheesh. Maybe I should just drive a while out to one of the forests. Take pills out there. I don't want to make one of my guys have to do the cleanup. Leave it for the county, huh?
He sighed and shook his head.
You didn't kill Hinzelman, Chad. He died a long time ago. A long way from here.
Thanks for saying that, Mike. But I killed him. I shot a man in cold blood, and I covered it up. And if you ask me why I did it, why I really did it, I'm darned if I could tell you.
Shadow put out a hand, touched Mulligan on the arm.
Hinzelman owned this town. I don't think you had a lot of choice about what happened back there. I think he brought you there. He wanted you to hear what you heard. He set you up. I guess it was the only way he could leave.
Mulligan's miserable expression did not change. Shadow could see that the police chief had barely heard anything that he had said. He had killed Hinzelman and built him a pyre, and now, obeying the last of Hinzelman's desires, or simply because it was the only thing he could do to live with himself, he would commit suicide. Shadow closed his eyes, remembering the place in his head that he had gone when Wednesday had told him to make snow, that place that pushed mind to mind, and he smiled a smile he did not feel, and he said,
Chad, let it go.
There was a cloud in the man's mind, a dark, oppressive cloud, and Shadow could almost see it, and concentrating on it, imagined it fading away like a fog in the morning.
Chad,
he said, fiercely, trying to penetrate the cloud.
This town's gonna change now. It's not gonna be the only good town in a depressed region anymore. It's gonna be a lot more like the rest of this part of the world. It's gonna be a lot more trouble. People out of work, people out of their heads, more people getting hurt, more bad shit going down. They're gonna need a police chief with experience. The town needs you. Marguerite needs you.
Something shifted in the storm cloud that filled the man's head. Shadow could feel it change. He pushed then, envisioning Marguerite Olsen's practical brown hands and her dark eyes and her long, long black hair. He pictured the way she tipped her head on one side and half smiled when she was amused.
She's waiting for you.
said Shadow, and he knew it was true as he said it.
Margie?
Said Chad Mulligan.